Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Yeah, there was a lot of inquiries at the front end of that group. I think one of the things that we've talked about here is just really trying to maintain that organizational discipline to kind of crush any urge, you know, to make a snap or an impulsive decision and give up, you know, large amounts of future World Series odds or expectation in exchange for just some marginal gains right now. So I think some of that undisciplined thinking can lead to, you know, years of mediocrity and kind of doing the same thing over and over and over again. And so was really happy to be able to, kind of put Vogelbach and Ruff together. I'm sure all of you have done the work and looked at the splits and everything of that nature. And so, you know, we feel we've been able to really add, using two roster spots, an impact bat for us to be able to utilize. And we were able to do everything that we wanted to do and kind of stay out of the inside of our top, if I'm speaking in technicalities, stay out of our top 19 prospects. And we're able to strengthen the club today and over the last couple of weeks. So feel good about how things transpired.
Just wondering how you balance taking that long view with a team that is off to, I think, the second best start in franchise history through this number of games and a team that looks perhaps special going into October.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we understand what our, kind of odds look like. We can factor in different types of acquisitions and see how that changes. But what we can also do is factor in the players that we're yielding and kind of through the forecast and some of the predictive modeling that we're able to do. We can look and see what does that actually subtract from the future and how many years does that subtract out in the future. And if you're, subtracting a percent or a percentage and a half aggregate over a 4-year period or 5-year period to move up 1% now, that's just, I don't think that's how sustainability, which has been an objective of mine and Steve's and Sandy's, as we were kind of putting this whole thing together. Is to try to do everything in service to that kind of sustainability. And so that's how we kind of measure that. Nothing presented itself that didn't take too much of that, or everything that presented itself just took too much of that future away.
Well, throw the records out of the book. Just look at how we play baseball. Look at the process. Look at RBs. The offense hit a lull there, and all of a sudden it's kicked back up, and, you're seeing a lot of consistency of guys and how they're swinging the bats. You look at our rotation. The guys have gone out there and consistently, thrown up some quality starts and really giving the team a chance to win. Look at our bullpen. Bullpen's going out there. We found guys are going out there and giving us quality innings out of that, and then we got, arguably the best closer in the game, and Diaz has shut the door. So, we're a good team. We know that, but it takes a major effort every single day in order to beat any opponent. So, as good as it's been, this year and how we played, it doesn't mean anything yet because it's just now getting started.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Thursday, August the 4th, 2022. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media. And you can show up on podcast, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. No G, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. And I want to welcome in the good folks from the Fansided Podcasting Network, as well as risingapple.com. Well, you heard Max Scherzer. It's just starting. And you all know, the longtime listeners that have been with us from the start here on the Talking Mets podcast, that we are firmly in go get it done or winning time or whatever you want to call it, the last third of the season. Now that the August 2nd trade deadline is past us, and that's really what this show is about. This is a reaction show. I will not be on for an hour. I know I say that and things happen, but I said in the coming weeks that there would be pain because, are you serious about winning a championship? Do you want to win a championship? And the cost of winning that championship is very steep. I think the Mets learned that in a big time way, if they didn't know that over the last 7 to 10 days. Whether it be prospect hugging, baseball inflation, or simply teams not wanting to give Steve Cohen anything or make it more expensive for the Mets to acquire things. The Mets went consciously in the deadline with the following, and we said this on Sunday, needs. They needed an elite reliever. They needed a complementary bat to Vogelbach or some more of an impact bat than what they had now, whether it be upgrading the, you know, part-time DH catcher or, you know, what they wound up doing by bringing in Darren Ruff. And they needed to see if they could pounce on a star. And I think the third one wasn't very realistic. With that said, taking the third one and the star out, the Mets did what they had to do with the bat. I know Darren Ruff, and my first reaction was, ugh. But then when you look at the splits, you see exactly, and probably we should have known when Vogelbach was acquired a couple of weeks ago, where this whole bat thing was going, because I don't think they would have gotten Vogelbach, who clearly needs a right-handed complement, if they were able to land a star like J.D. Martinez and the sort. And we talked about a lot of the options that were out there, like Trey Mancini, and how, you know, probably the best option from a bat was Josh Bell that might have been affordable. And it's clear the Nats didn't want to trade him in the NL East, and they attached him to the San Diego deal with Soto. Smart move, so they could get the best package possible. The breadcrumbs have been out there, though. I think the biggest thing, the breadcrumbs have been out there where the Mets weren't going to make a splash at the deadline. You heard Alderson talk about it. You just heard Billy Epler. And I'll get to where I think Epler did a bad job with the media a couple of days ago. And it's a small thing, but it's a big thing. But you talked about Epler talking about the extra half a percent to percent and predictive models when it came to now and in the future. And all the signs were that the Mets didn't like the prices that were out there. I mean, Epler talked about holding on to his top 19 prospects. And if you look, Brandon Drury, how he cost a prospect that was within the top 10. And Iglesias, even though that was a money deal, how, you know, some major leaguer and some prospect capital went back Anaheim's way. Every single deal, Trey Mancini, you know, top 15 prospect. Every deal you saw over the last couple of days, including the ones the Mets made for like even a Michael Givens, came with the prospect or an arm in a minor leagues that has some upside. Now, I think everybody, and we talked about this, because of the access to video, because of the way the MLB draft is covered, because now you could stream minor league games, and there is so much coverage of minor league players, all the way up to now the mainstream, where you have guys over at The Athletic or ESPN, you know, former GM and Jim Bowden talking about these kids, and Harold Reynolds on MLB Network talking about these kids and acting like, you know, they know who they're going to be, and they make these comps, and all of a sudden the fans get crazy, like, you just traded Jose Altuve. You just traded whatever. And it's like, all right, calm down. You know the odds of anybody making it to the big leagues, much less somebody in high A, low A, rookie ball, Dominican League? I mean, when you're in Triple A, the odds of you making the big leagues is better than at any other point maybe in your career, but still not likely. I think the Mets, really, if you want to summarize where they're at with all the breadcrumbs and what happened, The Mets really didn't want to make, and I'm going to pull something out of history here. The Mets didn't want to do Larry Anderson for Jeff Bagwell. And I'm not just saying from the reliever standpoint, from their DH standpoint. If you don't know what that is, you all know Jeff Bagwell as a Houston Astro. But Jeff Bagwell was a Boston Red Sox, or he's a member of the Red Sox organization. And back in 1990, the Red Sox were going for a third straight division title. They wanted to win. They hadn't won a World Series in whatever at that point, 90 years, whatever it was. I think it was 86 years, whatever it was at that point, 1990. And they needed a reliever. They needed a bullpen arm. And Larry Anderson, a veteran, a guy that was having a great year in Houston, was available. And all they wanted was some low-level minor leaguer named Jeff Bagwell. Well, you guys know the Red Sox did win the division. They did not beat Oakland in the playoffs. And that's before the tournament. That's before the layers you have now. And Jeff Bagwell went on to a Hall of Fame career. There's probably that Jared Kelnick and Pete Carmstrong now has become the new Kelnick. It's like, guys, come on. The Mets were only going to make a deal if it came from or outside of their top-end prospect capital. And, yeah, J.D. Davis got you Darren Ruff. It's a shame that J.D. couldn't do what Darren Ruff, they hope he does, which is hit left-handed pitching at a high level. Because that's where the disappointment and the failure is here. You want to be angry about what happened at the deadline. That's where you should be disappointed. The fact that they had to go out and give up a good bullpen arm in Holdeman and multiple young prospects and a major leaguer for Darren Ruff, who's 36 years old, and turned his career around in the Korean Baseball League. And that's really what it comes down to. So I know there's tons of disappointment, and I was disappointed too in where the deadline went. But I don't want to all of a sudden take away where this team is at right now after beating the Nats 2 out of 3 and going into probably now. I mean, yeah, June was tough because of their West Coast trip, but probably going into their toughest stretch and most definitive stretch of the season. Mets are going to make the playoffs. I mean, anything can happen. But really, even if they fumble around 500, which their record, you know, their schedule indicates they can. And I know everybody says collapse this, anything can happen. I don't see how a rotation with DeGrom and Scherzer and Bassett and even the quality in the back end, which you're getting out of Carrasco and Walker and the elite season that Diaz is having, even with some of the concerns with maybe the 3 to 6 outs that they did not address at the deadline, they're going to make the playoffs. It's going to be hard to win the division. I still think that when you start to look at them and the Braves, that they're a little bit more diversified than the Braves and can win against good teams at a better rate than what the Braves can. We'll see. You basically got 9 games in August that I think are going to decide the division. Even if you hold serve against the Braves, and even if you win 5 out of 4, you go 5-4 and win 5 out of 9, I think you're in pretty good shape to win the division. I really do. And that's what this is going to come down to. Can you hold serve against the Braves and win the majority of the games, these 9 games that are coming up over the next couple of weeks? So I don't want to take away, but I think if you want to do a criticism, I think everybody's disappointed because they see San Diego going wild and everybody wants to win the winter meetings. Everybody wants to win the deadline. It goes back to what I said. You can't run a baseball team that way. And I think when Steve Cohen took over, because he had to do so much work to get this team back into the big boys table and how they spent money really prior to the lockout. And it really have had no negative press since they made those Thanksgiving, Black Friday signings, hired Billy Epler, hired Buck, and away you go. This is the first time that the fans are angry because the fans think they're going to get what they want when they want it because Steve Cohen's the owner. And when the other team has to make a deal and has to evaluate prospect capital, there's a lot of factors that you and I don't know about. So this is kind of like the first, maybe crack in the 2022 fan armor that we see out there. And they went out and they got an okay arm in Givens. But he, and I'm going to go back in history here now, he has as much And I know I'm going off of yesterday, which was like his probably his worst outing of the year. But he could be as much Billy Taylor of the 99 Mets ilk as he could be, a late edition arm that comes over and lights out, Guillermo Mota, or something like that. And who knows? Maybe there is a Guillermo Mota. Maybe there is somebody that gets dumped like Brad Hand that the Mets could swipe up before the season ends. Doubtful. But that's where you go. So that's where I think maybe we could be disappointed is how can the Phillies land outside of their top 20 an elite closing arm like David Robertson for that kind of guy? But who knows how the scouts evaluated it? And who knows how the conversations with the Mets went? Maybe they were like, hey, if we're going to deal with the Mets, the only time we're going to get Robertson is when it's tied into a Contreras deal, and that didn't happen. If you really want to see where the only major criticism of Billy Epler and the organization so far this season has been and really ties into the trade deadline, it was, and I've said this for a while, I've thrown it in throughout different shows. So if you've been listening, you probably know I've said this. And post-lockout, they made the Bassett deal very quickly. But they did not aggressively go at the margins. They could have had an Andrew Chafin. They could have had a David Robertson. They decided to go with Chasen Shreve. They decided to swap Castro for Joely Rodriguez. And I was okay with the moves. I'm like, look, they're going value-driven. They have this huge payroll. They want to see where this team is at. And then they'll play the market and the deadline. And how can they not be able to get a bullpen arm? Well, because you have more teams in the hunt and because you have GMs that are, in some cases, hybrid, trying to still win and rebuild, because you have a lot of teams that don't want to compete, you have this confluence of stuff now where there's less sellers. So when you have it's simple supply and demand, people. If you haven't learned it over the last couple of years in baseball and in life, what supply and demand does and what it does to prices, then you got to go back to school. It's the same here in baseball as it is in real life. And less sellers, a lot more buyers, prices go up. And prices went up. And I do think, and I know John Heyman, I saw what he wrote in the New York Post column, and I almost thought he was like mentioning me when he said a friend of, because I don't want to name drop, but I've talked to John, not often, I'm not a friend of his, but I was like, is John, because he follows me on Twitter, and I'm like, is John talking about me? because he said, there's no such Steve Cohen tax, nobody wants to not see the Mets win. John probably knows better than I, but I'll tell you the truth, he's in the club, knowing these guys. I'm not. I know how people act. I know people's axes to grind. We've all had them. If you have a choice between sending a player to a team that and get what you want that you like better than the one that you don't, what are you going to help these guys? You want to see Steve Cohen with a trophy over his head after you have been in this game forever, scouted, ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Look, it's all speculation, and that's what this show is all about. I can't, even though a John Heyman, who I respect a lot, says it, I can't dismiss it. So you want to be mad about what happened at the deadline, go back to the spring post-lockout. The Mets did not, that's the one thing the Mets didn't do well. Here's another thing Billy Epler didn't do well the other day after the deadline. He did too much inside baseball with the media. And it goes back to what Luis Rojas really, his problem was. Luis Rojas is a baseball gym rat for cage rat, whatever you want to call it. And when he was there every day talking to the media, it came out. And it was boring, and he couldn't pivot. He couldn't think on his feet. And it started to become a problem later in the year, despite the fact that I think he will, he's a good baseball guy, good coach. He's coaching for the Yankees now. I think he'll get another shot to manage, and I think he'll do a good job. Billy, and you heard it coming in, and that's why I picked the clips that I picked coming in. Billy is talking boring inside baseball. He's talking about the top 20 prospects. He's talking about predictive models. He's talking about how they look at incremental World Series odds. It was the first thing he said on his first press conference. Hey, the best teams only have a 17-18% chance of winning. Now, that's a very real mindset, and that's very honest, but that's a dangerous mindset. Because you get too deep into the numbers. And the Mets, and I think Steve Cohen, who is a numbers guy coming from the financial field that he's in, the Mets have been really good, especially because they have Buck in the fold, at balancing the all analytics, emotionless approach with real scouting, real baseball, with a real sense of where they are at as an organization with the fans from a marketing and a branding and a, you know, the whole yoke around the next standpoint. Sometimes you have to make moves that the predictive models can't quantify. When you're Steve Cohen and you come in and you're trying to clean up the stench of a decade of Madoff and two decades of disappointment, maybe more. You know, you're paying for the sins of the past. So the predictive models don't put that in. There's no way to put that in. Even the most robust model with artificial intelligence can't do that. But you have to run your business and your team that way. If you want to be a sustainable winner, the way the Dodgers became the Dodgers, yeah, they went crazy and they got Josh Beckett and Adrian Gonzalez and they made that deal. But when you look at that deal that was applauded, those guys, you know, other than maybe Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, they weren't that good. That was a designer deal that they, you know, they wanted to show that they were back in the fold. The Mets have not done anything like that. All the moves they made have, for the most part, you know, Lindor has been the conversation, but he's not Carl Crawford when he came over. He's been very productive. The Mets don't need to do that right now. They're back at the big boys table. They've gained credibility. What Billy did is gave you how they look at things very honestly. And the fans don't want to hear that. The fans want to hear, I want to win. I want to be in the big, you know, they don't want to hear 17% or half a percent or whatever. They believe their team has every bit of chance to win as the Dodgers, every bit as with a chance to win as San Diego. They see San Diego go crazy and remake their team. Listen, there's a lot of, it's not Strat-O-Matic baseball. They still have to play the games, and the Padres have to mesh and gel and figure themselves out. They got to go through the getting to know phase and winning time at the same time in August. Not easy. That's basically what San Diego did. It could happen, but not easy. So I think my point here is that Billy needed to do a little bit more of a marketing conversation with the media and speak more to the fans, because you could talk about that, but acknowledge the fact, hey, I know fans don't want to hear this, but what I'm trying to do is explain to you how we look at things. And yeah, there'll be times where maybe the predictive model says X and we still go for it because of where we are in our cycle. But right now, that's not where we are, because we feel with the team we have and the upgrades that were available to us and the price that it was going to cost and what was going to happen later, it wasn't worth it. You have to remember, anything they did at this deadline with prospect capital has an impact, because Diaz is going to get paid, DeGrom is going to get a raise, Nimmo's going to get paid, the rotation, all these guys are all free agents in the rotation. The whole bullpen is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. There's a whole conversation when this season's over. You know, who can realistically stay? Who's going to go? And who do you want to keep? And the Mets roster, which I think, even if this season falls short in any way, shape, or form, I think you like this roster. And I think for the next 2 or 3 years, you'd like to bring these guys back and go at this a couple of times with reinforcements, of course, and an injection of young players, because you're going to need some cost-effective bats, which they certainly have at the upper level of the organization. And eventually you're going to want to say, hey, I want to slide in another McGill, another Peterson to, you know, make up for the fact that maybe Carrasco gets old and this is the magic beans and whatever he has left we're seeing right now, or Carrasco gets too expensive, or Taiwan Walker's market gets crazy and you say, you know what, I just can't pay Walker that kind of money for 4 years, so I'm going to, you know, but I have this guy that I could slide in or whatever. You know, Nimmo's going to want to get paid, and he's going to probably get paid handsomely. And you're like, okay, how do I fit Nimmo into it? It's really why they went more like Vogelbach and Ruff have some control. That's where some of the costs came up. And that's probably one of the reasons why they went that route. Because if they got a bat like a Josh Bell, now they got to pay him at the end of the year. Now they don't have a DH next year. So they tried to balance everything out. And that's not what you guys want. Now, I went on and I've said 1,000 times, and I'm not a phony, you know, winning championships is what this is about, not building top, you know, 10 farm systems. The Mets are like ranked 14th now, so they're getting close there. And there was a certain amount of prospect hugging. I don't know if Mark Vientos should have gotten in the way of me getting David Robertson. Do I want him straight up for David Robertson? No. But I guess that wasn't going to get it done for a Contreras or for somebody else. Really, the only reliever, the two relievers that had impact, was Iglesias and Robertson when you really start to look at who was available. Everybody else, Fulmer, kind of the same as Givens. Lopez from Baltimore is having a career year. Those are guys that I can't guarantee for the prospect capital you give up that they're going to come over and be as good as they were. I mean, look at their back of their baseball cards, the front of their baseball reference page, whatever you want to call it. You know, former Met. It walks a lot of guys. I mean, Givens falls in. Lopez is having a great year, but historically, he's not. He was a scrappy guy a couple of years ago. He was a guy that you look at, ugh, walks too many guys. Did he figure something out? Very possible. The Astros have made a living on it. The Yankees have made a living on it. It can happen. I'm not saying that Lopez is going to fall back to earth, but are you going to give up a top prospect with, you know, depending on the back end, what you see out of a guy from Baltimore that all of a sudden is this good? And the Orioles aren't stupid. They know they probably got some magic beans and pixie dust with him. Let's get paid on it. Let's get a haul for him. So you have to think of that. You have to know that Billy Epler is paid to think today, now, today, 20, a year from now, 5 years from now. They're not going to run. He didn't get this job saying, I'm going to get your championship in 2022. But you see, because of the way he communicated this with the media, because it was an inside baseball thing, and we haven't heard a lot from Billy Epler all year. He's talking on the back end. Sandy does a lot of the, you know, management liaison work. He's not making decisions, but he's a management liaison work and getting out there in the media. And mainly it's Buck Showalter. I mean, think about how important, I've talked about it from the start, how important Buck Showalter is. He's the guy that's going to provide context and perspective. And, you know, the other thing you guys have to think about is guys here have to play better. I know I'm using the Buck term, but they have to play better. McCann has to be better. He can't be. I can't imagine James McCann, I know he's been hurt, is a buck 50 hitter. I mean, can you give me 220 with home run power, continuing to provide good game calling, good defense, things like that? Is that what you were paid for, $10, $12 million a year? You know, Lugo's got to be better. Trevor May's back. We'll see. He was okay. I know he's, you know, when he says I'm going to become more of a pitcher than a thrower, it makes me think he can't dial it up and his arm is still an issue. But let's see, Trevor, you want to be more pitcher than a thrower? I'm all for it. You know me. You know, Michael Givens, you know, come in and get me three outs in the sixth inning. The only thing the Mets don't have right now that the other teams do, and Atlanta has it, and with Josh Hader, who's had a horrible July, maybe San Diego has it. They upgraded their bullpen. We'll see if they have it. The Mets have three outs to figure out. They have the best closer right now in baseball, bar none. They need to figure three outs. I think Lugo and Ottavino and May and all that, you could figure out, you know, you could push your starters another, you know, push these guys to the seventh inning now. Not DeGrom, but the other guys. There's no reason why that rotation, when it's healthy and it's when DeGrom is up and running, why can't you get 21 outs from them? Now you have to figure out six. You got three of them with Diaz figured out. What about the other three? You should be able to, which you have. It's not a guarantee. It's not a lockdown. It's not Nelson, Stanton, Rivera, which is what we wanted. But they could get it. I think you wanted more certainty, and you didn't get it. The only thing I'm upset about, and I know our friend Richard down in Columbia, who was on the show, is one of the panel guests. He wrote me an email, says, oh, he gave the team an F. Ah, that's a little harsh. That's a little harsh. I think they did not meet every need. I think they were C+. I think they would have been a B+ if they got Robertson. And then Iglesias, I looked at it when I first said, how come the Braves got him so cheap? Well, they also, I forgot, the guy's got a, so it's $16 million for like 2 or 3 years each year. Like that's, you take Iglesias on, you're basically saying, hey, Diaz, you're gone. You're not going to pay two closers. And he's not having a great year. He's league average. You know, so that's my perspective. My perspective is the Mets did what they told you they were going to do. Again, we learned, read the room, for lack of a better word. Listen to the breadcrumbs. Listen, everybody tells you the truth if they talk long enough and if you listen enough. Don't read the headline. Don't read the writer's opinions. Don't read, you know, there's smoke. Look behind it. There's probably a fire or something's going on. Don't just say, just ignore that. Sandy gave you the breadcrumbs. Andy Martino gave you the breadcrumbs coming out of the Batcave there in Citi Field in Flushing. They were there. They did exactly what they said they were going to do. Am I happy? I would have liked to know on the back end why they couldn't land Robertson and why they let the Phillies get him. And the funniest part about all this, this is really the funniest part, is that I've heard nothing but angst from this fan base about Jared Kelnick for 4 years and for the last 6 months about Peter Armstrong. And now they're pissed off because the Mets didn't trade top prospects for a free agent catcher and a reliever that was on the scrap heap because he was injured 6 months ago. Can you figure this fan base out? I think somebody tweeted out, and if you're listening and I didn't give you credit, I'm really, really sorry because my head is jumbled about at this point with all the information that's been flowing, that Mets fans rather be lovable losers and have losing records than be in the deep end of the pool and basically compete and win a championship. And I 100% agree. There is a portion of the fan base that loves that because prospect lists and losing are not stressful. They're about the future. You can never be disappointed because you could manipulate it to be whatever you want because it's predictive and it's not based in fact. And there's no stress and there's no disappointment. And at this point, there's nothing we could do. We're not going to sit here and gnash our teeth every time the lead is blown in the seventh inning about what they did or didn't do at the deadline. The media will do it. And when it's all said and done, I'd like to know, and I'm sure it's going to come out, why weren't they able to land Robertson? Because that's the name. Maybe, you know, I'm sure they wanted him. And that's that. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think they really like these guys in the top 15 to 20 of their farm system. I think they know they have a lot of money that they have to spend to keep the current group together, or as much of it. And they were not a match on the stars. Ohtani wasn't going anywhere. They don't need Hader, and I'm not sure, you know, I would really wonder what's going on with Hader in July with how he got torched. And Juan Soto is the guy that we'd love to have. And look, at this point, you could sign him in 2 years. But I will say, San Diego, the weather, the tranquility, the fact that you could be a big star and not have the pressure of New York. If I'm Soto and they pay me my quote, they pay me my money, I'd stay there. Yeah, the taxes stink. They're not so great here in New York either. Well, come to New York and play in 45 degree weather in April and get booed because you struck out with the bases loaded, or hang out in sleepy San Diego in the beautiful weather. Probably have some good teams if they could afford to keep building a team around you. And a fan base that's probably going to love you no matter what, whether you're in third place, first place, last place, and you got the weather. Where would you play? If you're getting paid, where would you play? Be honest, Mets fans. So it's not going to be easy to get Soto. And I didn't think it was. It was an exciting thought when it first came out a few weeks ago, but not realistic. Even the Yankees had to make it. It was too complicated. You had the Judge on the Yankee side. You have the Mets. You're ripping up your roster, and you're trying to incorporate a star. Remember, there's a reason why we say there's a third, a third, and a third. Getting to know what do you need, and then go get it done. Because teams, even though it's an individualistic sport, teams have to gel and grow. And it doesn't happen overnight. Simple as that. So that's what I have for you guys. That's my reaction for the deadline. What did you expect me to yell and scream? You could go to, you know, Sal Licata at SNY for that. You're not going to get that from me. You want me to grade him an F? Give him a C+. Am I upset about Robertson? Yeah. But I'm telling you, we've talked about this. They told you what they were going to do. The prices are high. I gave you the reasons why the prices are high. Some of it may be Cohen and them wanting to stick to Cohen. Some of it could just be simple supply and demand. That's probably what it came down to. Maybe the game is evolving how they look at prospects. And how, I mean, we're starting to get to the point where people are evaluating prospects in the 20 to 30 to 35 range in an organization. I mean, good luck. You need to be a scout to do that. That's like going to the store and trying to pick through the bin for, like, what's the winning scratch-off ticket. I mean, come on. I don't know. But I think Billy Epler needs to do a better job of brushing up. He didn't do anything wrong. He's got to be less inside baseball and more charismatic and more talk to the fans, giving them the information that's the truth, like the predictive models, but not ripping the Band-Aid off like he did. Now, part of it is it just finished the deadline 90 minutes prior, so it's not that easy to turn the switch on and off. But, you know, you have to speak to the media. You don't want to be like the Knicks and not talk to the media at all and create that atmosphere. You know, now you know why the Knicks don't want to talk to the media, because look what Billy did. You know, he got the benefit of the doubt, but if they weren't in first place by four games, his deadline, post-deadline, I should say, press conference would have been, it's a Zoom one, but it would have been far more difficult for him if they weren't in first place. So he got the benefit of the doubt there. So that's it. Nine. Now it's about getting it done, guys. Or as Scherzer said, it's about it just starting. Nine games in August. Big series with Atlanta starts tonight. You got the Phillies. You got the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. You got the Dodgers at the end of the month. Let's see what this team's made of. The guys who are here, they have to play better. They've got enough to compete and win. Not guaranteed. Would have loved to have reinforcements. Would have loved to bridge the gap with the Dodgers. Would not have liked to see the Padres improve as much as they did. But hey, they could be the Braves. They could be the Phillies in a short series. They could be the Brewers. So that's that. All right, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You can send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media. And you can show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. No G, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the Braves series. We'll be back recapping the Braves series at the end of the weekend. Till then, sit back, enjoy baseball. Take care, everyone.
For the park and greet the Mets. Hot dogs, green grass, all out of shade. Guaranteed to have a heck of a day, because those Mets are really rocking that ball, hitting those home runs over the wall.
And all out in Jersey, Brooklyn, Queens, a town and down.
Let's go Mets, that's the cheer all over New York town.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.